wish for it or you can work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
If you ain't working, you should be working.
Come on, let's work.
These are the confessions of a workaholic.
Welcome to Confessions of a Workaholic, where we share the success secrets of fearless female entrepreneurs who are obsessed with success. This is your girl, Corielle, and you are totally in for a treat with this episode. Now, today's conversation is brought to you by Work, Pray, Slay Weekend, which returns to ATL November 3rd through 5th. For details on how you can attend the biggest and best women's weekend of the year, be sure to log on to workprayslay.com. Now, like I said, you are in for a treat because today we are talking to Bianca Rush, the CEO of Sassy Mitchell Hair, the co-creators of Ladies Hoop Brunch, and an inspiration to working women everywhere. In this episode, we are talking making money, marketing your business, partnerships, and so much more. Now, Bianca, the one thing that my listeners love the most is that this is really just like a sister girl candid conversation, like the behind the scenes of the business with the bosses, just two homegirls telling how they do it. So you can feel free to say what you want, be you, and do you. Are you ready to confess?
I am.
Yay. Okay. So I'm excited. Now, I always like to start by asking what your professional background is, because I always find it so interesting how our passions tend to lead us away from our profession. So what is it that you started your career doing before entrepreneurship?
Okay. Well, I actually started in IT auditing, which is financial services, at this global accounting firm is called Ernst & Young. I started in the Atlanta office, and I was working there for 3 years, really just auditing different information systems. I know it sounds kind of boring to do, but I was in technology for 3 years, and then that's really how entrepreneurship fell into my lap out of that job.
That is so interesting. And like I said, this is like, it's so common. I mean, I don't know one successful entrepreneur who built their business, you know, their own business in their own field or in, you know, whatever field their professional background was in. So I always like to ask that question because there are so many women who are in these careers and staying in these careers because they have, you know, degrees or because this is where they have spent most of their time and they don't want to give up, you know, what they work hard for. But I like to share, you know, the stories of women who took that leap of faith and followed their heart and did, you know, what they were passionate about and made it work, because it is possible. So you've been doing this for a minute. What can you say was like that one thing that you did within your business to really become profitable? Like, can you pinpoint that one thing that made your business profitable, whether it was hiring a coach or hiring a publicist or finding the perfect vendor for your products, you know, creating a partnership? Can you pinpoint like one decision that you made within your business that just totally changed things?
Sure. So I think, well, the first thing was finding the perfect vendor. So my first jump into entrepreneurship was the hair, so Sassy Mitchell Hair. And at the time, I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about hair. I mean, I'm coming from MIS, information systems degree background. Everything is computers, everything is techie, and they're not talking about hair or anything beauty. So I learned along the way, and to be honest with you, I got a lot of my input and some advice from a well-known hairstylist here, Ming Lee. Actually, she was the one that introduced me to the beauty industry more. And this was 6 years ago. So this was way before everyone was, you know, deciding to sell hair and wanted to do that, which is quite fine, but she was the one that told me about hair, and then from there, I kind of took in what she said to me and applied it on my own, and also from other vendors within the city of Atlanta. So myself and two of my friends at the time used to actually go to different shops, and these were all older individuals that were selling hair. Nobody within our demographic was selling hair at the time, so they would just school me on hair, school me on web, school me on how. I would just ask questions. And it's kind of, since this is a sister girl conversation, I'm going to keep it all the way real. I would have questions like I was going to purchase hair, just so they could educate me on hair. So I was like, well, if I want to purchase, how will I know a bad bundle before other than a good bundle? How will I know the difference between the two? Because I want to make sure I make the right decision, because I'm sure, you know, I can't really return this hair once it's in my head. So how can you, like, help point me in the right direction on knowing what's good versus what's bad? And at the time, I mean, I hope people are still this open, but they were very, very open with being honest with me, showing me videos. I had my homegirls taking notes. So we all would come together and we'll be like, well, what did that person say? And I would write it down. I would keep notes and keep tabs. So as I had everything written down and taking in that genuine, honest advice that Ming had gave me in the beginning, that's how I had got to finding the perfect vendor, knowing the difference between what was good versus what was bad. And also on top of that, I had to be willing to offer free product. And we call them influencers now, but at the time it was just people that had a lot of followers, and like Twitter was really big. It still is big, but it was actually, we didn't have Instagram at that time. It wasn't as big. So Twitter was life, and I was offering free product. And at the time that was enough for people that had a lot of followers and engagement and people interacting with their account was hair was enough. Now, could I say that's enough now? To be honest, no, not necessarily. That is not enough. But during that time, it was. So that kind of gives you what I did.
That I love it. Okay, so let me say thank you for keeping it really real, because we do, you have to get really creative, especially when it comes to, you know, how to find the good vendors and how to choose your price points. I like to tell, you know, my mentees, you have to act like a consumer, you know, act like you're about to go get that service from whoever does a service like you. Figure out what other people's prices are. Find out how they're doing their, you know, their introductory strategy session or whatever it is that you are going to be offering in your business. And then, you know, use that in your research. So thank you for mentioning, you know, that you had to, you know, pretend to be a customer sometimes, and you had to ask the hard questions to really get the answers. Mm-hmm. This stuff does not happen overnight. And I hope people listening, you know, understand that, you know, you didn't just get in the hair business to, you know, start booming on Instagram. So I like to talk to the people who may be in an industry that's quote unquote saturated, but they're doing their thing because they're doing it from a different reason, a different perspective. They have, you know, different reasoning behind it, different passions. So the other thing that I always see you do that so many other people try to avoid doing is spend money on marketing. I've seen you, you know, your tables at tons of shows, all different types of events. I've heard your commercial on the radio. Can you just talk a little bit about how important it is to invest in marketing? Because I think especially in the Black community, we don't want to spend no money. So what, I mean, it's sad, but you know, and I know people are sick of hearing it takes money to make money, but it's really real. So talk about how important marketing has been for you and your business.
Well, that definitely is real. You just kept it real there. Marketing is very important. Otherwise, how are people going to know about your product? After a while, Instagram is wonderful. Let me not say that. That is the bread and butter, especially on hair. That's how we started. That and Twitter. But you have to think of other avenues, because not everybody is on social media that heavily. So investing in other events, that's how you make connections with people who may know someone that you want to be connected to. So I think when I spend marketing dollars, I also think about relationships. So people want to work with people who want to work with them. So if I support you by you having an event, I get a table, I meet wonderful women, and I get to have that time with you. That's a connection that we have. So say you're connected to, I'm going to say, ABC celebrity or ABC influencer. And I'm like, man, I've been trying to get to this person for years. And that's like your go-to girl. I can reach out to you because I had that relationship with you. Like, hey, I got this product. I've been trying to get it to your girl, ABC. So do you think you can help me out? And I would say you're more willing to help me out by knowing that, hey, you supported me and what I have going on. Let me go ahead and, you know, scratch your back too. And I'll try my best to see what I can do with you for ABC. But I just feel it's very important because people support others that support them. And social media is great, but there's so many other avenues. There's so many trade shows. There's so many expos. There's so many things that you can be a part of that can grow your product much, much faster than just a post because it's free. just to be honest with you. And it does cost, and you don't always see that return right away, but it gets there. It comes, because you got to kind of weigh out. Not every profitable thing is money. I think as far as notoriety, people being just aware, you know, the customers may know about you now and they might not buy, but they might buy later. Like, oh, let me save up my coin or my dollar to shop with her next month or next week or whatever, what have you. It doesn't always have to be immediate to be profitable. And that's how I like to think when it comes to marketing, is what can that future prospect be? Not just right now. Because if I think right now, then I'll probably quit, because right now doesn't always mean I'm going to have something in my hand to see, like a notification of payment received. It might not come right now. I would quit if I had to wait on that.
It's so true, because we are, you know, in 2017, we are all about instant gratification. And Instagram does make it appear that we are just, you know, sale after sale after sale, day after day, all, you know, PayPal notification all day long. And yeah, some days are like that, but it's not, you know, like, you only see what we allow you to see. You don't see when it's dry, drier than dry. And so it's so important to know, you know, that every time you get a vendor table doesn't mean you're going to make money. Every time you spend money on a radio ad doesn't mean, you know, it's going to make you money. Every time you pay somebody to post for you doesn't mean it's going to make you money right then. Mm-hmm. Right, that's there. Awesome. That's why it's you know, important to be passionate, though, because if you don't really love what you are doing, you're going to quit, because it's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. And so that's why it's so important to not just start a business. Don't just sell hair because you see the next person. You know, you see Sassy Mitchell making money off of hair. Do what you are passionate about. So one last thing in regards to marketing. For people who are like, okay, Cole, cut it out. You know, I don't have no radio commercial coins. And you mentioned it yourself, you know, by saying back then you can just get somebody a free bundle and they would, you know, promote for you. But what is your marketing advice for people who don't think they have the money to market their business? What can they do on a budget?
What can they do on a budget? Well, we all know that social media is free. I would try to understand, I like to find accounts that I call inspiration accounts. And it doesn't mean inspiration as far as I want to take your whole swag and colors and all that and make it my own. No, it's just like I want to kind of move in the direction that you move. Like, I read a lot of blogs, so you can invest in a camera and take your own pictures. You can learn Photoshop. Photoshop is actually available for free the first week. And you can find classes on YouTube and learn how to edit your own pictures. There's a lot of research you can do on your own to make it way more cost effective, and find that business or brand that you're like, I want to kind of go in that direction that they're going in, but I want to do it in my own way, and see how they move. What kind of pictures do they use? What kind of captions do they write? What kind of businesses are they giving credit to? What events are they going to so that you can kind of save to go to yourself? Because at the end of the day, you inspire to be like them, but not exactly like them. You just really like what they're doing and you would love to do it the same way, but with your own mix, because we have to be our own selves. I don't like when people copy it. It's so annoying.
Girl, read my mind. We're about to talk about that next.
What?
We are about to talk about that next.
That's not good. That's so uncreative. But there are a lot of ways that you can cut costs, and there's a lot of budget-friendly cameras. If you need to purchase one, iPhone has a really bomb camera. So if you're eligible for an upgrade, or you have a homegirl, homeboy that has a phone with a decent camera, start using that and go from there.
Okay. So very, very good advice. You have to get creative. And if you don't have the budget, you are going to have to be willing to do the work. So let's just talk a little bit about the copycat syndrome, because that is the one downside I feel to Instagram. It's like, yes, this is a beautiful, wonderful platform, but that's the moment you put something out there, five other people are trying to mimic what you're doing. And it drives me crazy. So how do you personally handle it when you see your hard work being posted and copied by other people?
I used to get upset, honestly. We're going to keep it real. I used to get very, 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 very upset to see, like, completely word for word type of copy, color, look, feel, everything. But after a while, I kind of it just rolls down my back. And I know people try to say, you know, imitation is a form of flattery. To me, it's kind of offensive, because it's like my own intellectual property that I'm putting into something. and you just take it and run with it. And it, I don't know, it's just disrespectful how I feel about it. But I have to just keep creating it to the point that you won't have to try to catch up every time. You have to just keep reevaluating and renovating everything and what you do. Throw in a little wrench here and there. We're just like, dang, how did you do that? So I just like to just stay creative and always turning the wheels and not staying stagnant.
Keep them guessing because they got to keep up at the end of the day.
Keep them guessing. Yeah, you definitely keep them guessing. And you just kind of got to carry forward. You can't let it hold. Because if you worry about every person that copy you, then you're losing time of focusing on what you need to be doing. So you look at it, shake your head, and move on and let them keep trying to catch up to you. Just keep running. Keep running that race and don't let them ever catch up. That's all you can do because people are going to just do what they want to do anyway.
They are.
And make it hard for them to be you. Make it real hard. Really hard.
Man, I get mad every time, but, you know, I don't get as mad as I used to. So thank God for growth.
Right. Girl, what? Yes. I mean, yeah, you're going to get mad for sure. Because you put in all of your effort, all of that hard work and your team and everybody collaborating together. And if someone just taking a run with it, come on.
Run.
Like, that's make anyone
run. But I'm like, I'm not even chasing y'all no more. Because like you say, you're taking energy off of what you could be doing when you're giving them your attention. So at the end of the day, it's easier said than done. But we know we got to keep our eyes on our prize and keep it moving. So, okay, Bianca, not only do you have a beauty brand, a booming beauty brand, you are also in the empowerment business as the co-creator of Ladies Who Brunch. So one thing that I don't have much experience in is like co-creation. All of my businesses and my brands are solo projects for me. You know, I have a team, but I don't have a partner. So you, on the other hand, have a business partner for Ladies Who Brunch. How did that partnership come together, first of all? Were you friends before? And if so, like, how did that business affect your friendship?
Okay. Well, my partner is Dayara Jones on Instagram. Her name is Day Bella, D-A-Y-Y, Bella. And Day and I met at a turkey giveaway in 2013. It was actually in front of Snob Life. Jaja was doing it. She was doing a turkey giveaway, turkey to families. And she and I were just talking about, you know, what we see going on. And one of the questions we asked each other was like, hey, have you ever been to an event where women just kind of offer resources to things? Because I know with a lot of things I was dealing with at the time was always guys. Like my graphic artist was a guy. Photographer was a guy. Anything I needed t-shirt printing was a guy. And I was like, what are the women doing? Like, I know we out here, but what are we working on? What are we doing? I would love to work more. Do you know anything that's available that I can go to that I can kind of get resources and advice from other women? And Dave was like, no, I don't. So she and I just kept the small talk. And then we're like, why don't we just create this? And we started our first like small brunch was December 15th, 2013. And it was only like 25 women. And it was amazing. It was just so positive and so helpful because we were learning from them. They were learning from us. And then word of mouth is how it grew into like thousands of women we've had events for and have seen. And it's just been insane. And even the speakers, they just want to be a part. Like, hey, I love what you're doing. I love your brand. How can I come and share the things that I've been through? Because I was working in a career that I didn't really particularly like. I took on whatever God had for me and decided to do entrepreneurship and to turn my life around. I want to share to other women how they can do the same thing. And from there, it's work. Like for myself, Day and I are a perfect partner. Day is very creative. I'm very strategic. So it kind of just, she gets it. Creative idea, I get a strategy to implement it, and it's a match made, really, because we both work on two different things and just bring it together.
I love it. So what has been more beneficial for you in your career? Would you say it's been mentorship or partnership?
I feel like mentorship has been very, very helpful in my career, as well as my own reading and taking on, you know, due diligence. You have to do your own thing as far as staying up to date on what's going on and where you want to be. So that's who I give credit to is mentorship. And it just taught me a lot of things about how to handle situations when they come about, how to work through the glory and the pitfalls of entrepreneurship. So that's where I give my credit, is mentorship.
Okay. So your recipe for success, if you can only include three ingredients, what would be your personal recipe for success? Three things.
My personal recipe. I would say my personal recipe for success, patience is one. I would say perseverance, don't give up. And my third thing would be a single word, is evolve. Always become better. Don't stay in the same pace doing the same thing. Try to always elevate yourself and what you're doing. So if you're starting out, I'll say clothing line, you have like two t-shirts. Work on those two t-shirts, get them going, and then kind of elevate and decide you want to add something else. One thing I would say is don't start off with too many things, because you can't be great at many. You can be great at one and then divert. So that was how I functioned off of Lady Supernatural. Sassy Mitchell started that kept going. That garnered, you know, customers and eyes, and then from there branched off to Ladies Who Brunch. And it's kind of like people looked at Ladies Who Brunch, they're like, well, I see what you did with Sassy Mitchell, so how did you do it, and what's Ladies Who Brunch about? So don't do too many things at one time, because you won't be great at that many things. You just can't. You don't have enough time for it. So if you can focus on one thing, grow it, develop it, then work on that second thing. Grow it, develop it, and then move on to the third thing. Grow it and develop it. That would be advice I would give.
I love it. I have truly enjoyed this conversation, and I know that my ladies appreciate your authenticity. So please let them know where they can find you online and how they can connect with you on social media.
Sure. Okay, hey everybody. You can connect with me more on my personal Instagram, which is Bianca Tamara. So it's B-I-A-N-C-A, T as in Tom, O-M-A-R-A, or you can follow the brands Sassy Mitchell Hair or Lady Who Brunch ATL. That's where I am on Instagram. I hope to hear from you.
This has been another game-changing episode of Confessions of a Workaholic, meant to empower and encourage you to get that ass to work. You already have everything that you need to get everything you want if you are willing to do what it takes. Thank you so very much for tuning in. For advertising opportunities, definitely email ads@coriel.com, and we will see you next time. Peace.